So when he makes a promise about long life, it is not as if you walk towards long life. Oh, please, you must understand what I'm saying. You just accept that Jesus died so as to make long life your portion. You are getting what I'm saying? That's it. He said, let me go and jog so I can live long. No, let me jog so that while I'm living long, I'm going to live long whether I jog or I don't jog. Jogging does not guarantee long life. Eating vegetables and uncooked food, drinking spices, abusive juices, all those things don't guarantee long life. No, listen. That is a matter of fact. They don't guarantee long life. Those that really live long don't know. They just live their lives. And of course, we know in Nigeria, generally, today, we are praying, amen? And God is answering, but as of today, what kills most people has nothing to do with whether they ate or did not eat. It only has to do whether they had an accident or they were shot. That's all. Which one of these has to do with their diet? If you are in a car and they squeeze the car, squeeze you, joint, do they check whether you ate vegetables or ate cooked meat? If you go to a place, you are not a believer, or the angels of God don't have any special interest in you, and Boko Haram bomb goes off. Who checks over, are you fat or slim? The bomb blows everybody the same way. Thin man, pieces. Fat man, pieces. The only difference is, one, you see bone and flesh, one, fat to be joined to the collection of bone and flesh. Death, they are both dead. You get what I'm saying? So, Pastor, you say we shouldn't jog. I'm trying to just to warn you ahead. If it's so that you can live long, forget. You're going to die soon. Not you. You can't put your faith in those things as believers. What is your faith in? With long life, I will satisfy him. Do you get the point? That's my faith. With long life, that is, long life is a gift. So, are you going to jog? Listen, I will jog because as an old man, I want to be able to move around. But I want to live long. You get my point? Jog or no jog, I'm going to live long. But it's good to live long and be, you know. I mean, the other day I saw one man on TV. Oh God, that was so nice. Listen, they said the man was retiring from marathon. I've forgotten his age, but if I remember well, he was 90-something. 92. He was running his last marathon. And when I saw the pictures of him running, and I now saw the life, that is the movie pictures that is on TV. The man was, you know, you think marathon, you think like this. No. That man will outpace a young man. Now, what surprised me was I didn't start, you know, you'd have thought, okay, he's been running for how long? He was young and all of that. No, he started running in his 70s when his wife died. They said because of depression. So they encouraged him to start running. I think it was 60-something or 70-something when he took up running. One day I saw a man on TV. I think it was 80-something. I thought it was something or 90-something. And he used to jog up the hill. I said, in the name of Jesus, that is my portion. That is my portion. I know this is how I used to do it. I was watching like this. Long ago, I saw Abika Dabri. She was being drilled by a man who fought in the Second World War. You know Abika Dabri, who's now a legislator? When he was still doing this night program, Sunday night program on NTA. Newsline. She was a reporter for Newsline. And this man said that he knows when he was born. He is a Yoruba man. So he said his mother told him he was born either the year before or the year after the Ajakale Arun. And that is, there was one, that's Yoruba word for epidemic. But there was one epidemic that raised that time, and it was influenza. So he used that to point his age, and we realized this man was 80-something. And he was doing Abike Dabri, left, right, that he fought in the Second World War. I say, ye gilu, father. I'm going to live long one way or the other, but I want to be that age and be that fit. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why we do things we do. If you think it's a guarantee for long life, you're about to die soon. What is a guarantee for long life? It's a promise. That's what I'm trying to talk about. It's a promise. With long life, I will satisfy him. And Jesus said, that's you. Amen. He said, who is it, him? It's me. Who is it? Who is it? Why? Simply because Jesus said, anybody who will believe in me has passed out of death into the life where things like this are his and hers. Jesus didn't come, he didn't die to found another religion. He died so that the promises of God will be legitimately yours. So he can beat your chest. And I'm going to say, that's written for Jerusalem. He said, that was what Isaiah thought. That was written for Judah. He said, Jeremiah thought so. How do you know? Peter said so. That these are the things inspired by the Spirit of Christ. And it's for those who are of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I am of Christ. How are you of Christ? Because I have believed. And that is what Jesus came to do. To take those promises of God and make them legally, legitimately yours. Let me say to you again. This life is a battle of words. Everybody is seeking to control you. That's what they're trying to do. Feeding you with all kinds of information. And you know, we don't realize it. We have been bought by medical information and CNN information, you understand, and National Geographic information. Scientists have found out that all those who work 2 hours a day allow you to live to the age of 90. Let me tell you another thing, so that you balance it well, because I said it before, when we were talking about these things, people say that, but those things are true. You see, life has levels. They have realms. There are those who live purely by the flesh. I'm preaching this evening to those who live by the Spirit. That heard, amen.
Amen.
You live by the Spirit. That whatever scientists found out concerning those who are under a curse. I said last time that be careful when you are reading business books. Many of them were written for those who are not blessed. That is, as we are starting this book, I declare to you that you are under a curse and this world is rough. Things are difficult. You have to take yourself up by your bootstraps. Nobody's here to help you. You have to be a man of your own. You see, heavens only help those who have helped themselves. And they fall and you say, amen, amen. Say, good, now sit down. We are going to teach you how to labor under the curse that's over your head. He said, thorns and thistles it will bring. But we're going to teach you how to weed the thorns and the thistles. Now, there's a principle of laboring with the sweat of your brow and eating bread. Today you are going to eat plenty of bread. And all the ignoramuses will shout, amen. Now how are we going to get the plenty of bread? We shall sweat some more. Everybody says sweat some more. Sweat some more. He said, he did not say we will not eat bread. He said, we will sweat. So right now I have come with infusion of enough water. The more you sweat, the more I put water into your body. But it has to be by your sweat. And we'll be there in the business books buying it. Yes, give me 7 Laws of Power by Steve. Steve Coven wrote this one, you'll be packing a go home and be cramming the ways by which unbelievers and sinners prosper. You get up and come to church, the power of networking to this message. Thinks that is the only way by which a person that has been cursed can eat bread. Again, my message today, Jesus said, that is not your portion.
Amen.
I dare to say, very few business books that are worthy for Christians to imbibe. That's why I recommend books like Business by the Book, R.G. Lutono, Mover of Men on Mountains. I recommend books like that. I recommend books like Mary Kay's, what's the name again? Miracles Happen. I recommend books like that. Because listen, miracles are a part of your life. No, they are a part of your life. It doesn't mean that you are just walking on the road. The star just came up and exploded. Oh, and dollars pound, Japanese yen was raining. That's not what they call a miracle. You know, I was reading, there's a book I'm reading right now. It's a story of Isaac Newton. And I discovered something. I was in the bathroom. As I was stepping out, something just struck me again. It wasn't the first time. I said, genius is an inspiration. I don't know what I heard I said. Yes. That is, I was reading the story of Isaac Newton. I said, this man could not have thought this thing up by himself. He came up from a very poor background. They said he described the movement of oceans. The man who wrote the book said, I doubt whether he ever saw an ocean. That the man described how, that before there's a French school that says that the moon controls the movement of the oceans. And that when the moon is close, pressure from the moon pushes the tide down. And when the moon is far, it kind of pulls the... But as it came and said, it's the other way around. That when the moon is close, gravity from the moon pulls the ocean up and the tide is high. And he was right. And that man said he had never seen the ocean. Now, why am I using his life to describe something? You didn't go to school, you'll be a billionaire. Amen. Miracles are a part of your life. That is, it doesn't mean that you're just going on the road. You're just going. Huh. Dig. Gold. I see gold. Praise God. The Lord just as I was going, the Holy Spirit just said dig, and I began to dig, and gold just came out. No. You did not go to a business school. Yet, you will sit down, analyze. That is, God will just give you insight. You'll be looking at things that everybody else can't see. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That's what I call miracles. Let me say it like this. Expect a miracle.
Amen.
In your field of endeavor. Because let me tell you something about miracles. I'm digressing, but let me just say it. Eh? To you that it's being worked in, you don't even think it's a miracle. It's just normal. It's called grace. To you, it's normal. They say, that fellow is a genius. The way he reasons, the way she brings things out of hidden corners. Tell you what is wrong with them. This is supposed to be normal. That's what I mean when I'm talking about miracles. Now, you're not the one that tonight, all of you are poor, just do your hand like this. It's about to rain. They'll be gathering dollars for falling from heaven. If he falls like that, it's counterfeit. Say, but God is the one that sent it. It doesn't matter. He printed dollar, he printed naira. It's a lie. God is not allowed to print. Pastor Banky, what do you mean? Are you limiting his power? No, he limited it like that. That printing must be done in Minting and Printing Corporation of Nigeria and signed by Sanusi Lamido. Sanusi. It's not done like that. Or somebody they contracted is not valid naira. You've heard of those funny jokes. People tell you that they caught a child and put weed on his head and did incantation. And then he was vomiting money. Now home video be that. What did I talk? What did I talk? Any such money is counterfeit. You can't spend it. Just to help you, I say it doesn't happen. What happens? I know men go into a cult to get money. What happens is favor. There's a spiritual principle called favor. That's what they are trying to get. So where 10 people bid for a job, they always get it. They violate the contract, they get it. Usually it leads them into satanic circles. They are very common in Nigerian businesses and politics. Jobs that could have been done for 1,000 naira, they did for 10,000 and they get paid. That's why you see those men can't do you favors. You have not joined. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why they can't. They can't do you favors because you think that they're being wicked. No. There's something inside this. There's blood in it too. There is. But for us as Christians, there's a way it works. But something similar, I want to explain. God doesn't just pour things your way like that. He pours ideas. He pours favor also into your life. Your own favor is not of inflating contracts. It's been so good that Pharaoh will send for you anytime.
Yes.
Your own favor is being so good that Nebuchadnezzar will have to dig you out from wherever you are. That Nebuchadnezzar's wife one day will come and tell the son, you've sacked Daniel, and now you have a handwriting on the wall. Your company is about to collapse. There is a man in whom the spirit of the gods dwell. Insight, understanding, and the solving of difficult problems will be found with him. That's what I mean by expect a miracle. That kind of miracle there is not written in any business book. It's yours because of your faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What am I saying? This is why Jesus died. He died to ensure that these promises of God, they are yours. I hope you've gotten my point there. Let's now comment on the other one. Is that out of 53? Comment on that and then we close. We've read it, so no point reading again. You find out something that he talked about the fact that he bore our infirmities and he took away our diseases. I want to explain something quickly about that because Christians must expect. Let me just say something. You know, a friend of mine was ill the other day. And the doctor saw him and they said what they were going to do and all of that. He called me. He said, what do I think? I said, no, don't bother yet. Come, let's see first. Then we saw another doctor. And that one said, ah, thank God the other ones didn't do what they wanted to do. That you'll have had to live with the pain all your life. I said, both of us agreed, number one miracle. Then he now described what he was going to do. So he and I thought and prayed about it, and we came to a conclusion. Listen to this. I'm a doctor. You understand what I'm saying? Don't think I'm an ignorant person. I'm a specialist. I know book well. I have trained many specialists. I'm not kidding about it. And many people who want to be specialists are under my training. So what I'm telling you, I know it. My friend and I looked at it and said, listen to this. We said, the power of God is as tangible as medical intervention. So I said, having considered everything, I think we just stick with the power of God on this one. That the pain that will go with following these guys, that's my friends, my colleagues, we both agreed it would be too much. So we joined hands and prayed. Now, what I'm talking about is that, and we believed that the power of God had entered in there, and we just left the matter there. So we called the doctor and said, sorry, I won't be coming. And the doctor said, no problem. Just let me see you in 3 months' time. Let me assess you again. And I actually want him to go back in 3 months' time. Because I know that the power of God has gone in and is doing something. Why did I say that? I want you to know that it is real. What else can we do now? You know, say, they go shush. So we just have to try and pretend. No, it's more of, you know, there's something the Chinese people used to do. Those, I don't know whether they still do it. You know Chinese medicine? That's what they call Chinese medicine. You see that on ginseng. All those ones, they're always selling to you. Ginseng. So that's part of Chinese medicine. Acupuncture. That's part of Chinese medicine. Now, people said it worked. I don't know whether it works or it doesn't work. I'm not even commenting on it. But it's believed that it works and it's good. So what some Chinese hospitals used to do those days, I don't know what they still do it now, is that you come to hospital on your right, and normal doctors, the way you and I know them, those who do pathology, you know, pharmacology, surgery, medicine, all those kind of things, they are there. Row of offices. On the left, there are natural Chinese physicians. They are there. So when you come in, somebody sees you, try and diagnose your problem, and it gives you the options. If you go to this side, Dr. Jen Jun is there with acupuncture needle, ginseng, and other rutabaga. You know, they have roots like that. Baobab leaves, shark fin, all those kind of things where they don't concoct together. If you go on this side, they have paracetamol, rosefine. You understand? They have all kinds of narcotic agents to use to make your head correct when you're in pain. They have all kinds. So which one do you choose? Now, I'm trying to bring up something. Nobody was angry with the other. They just looked at each other and said, this is your acupuncture. I don't know how it works, but apparently it works. Another one said, why do you use all those needles and co? He said, it works. Okay, so the patients come and they give the patients the option of choosing one or the other, believing that both of them are good. I'm going to explain to Christians using that concept again for you to understand. It is proper and appropriate. If they said, okay, the third row is for faith healers, people who know how to pray, people who lay hands on the sick, those who cast out demons from afflicted areas, they're on that side. Which one do you want to go? And all of them, fine, according to your faith. I want you to know today, I just feel like dropping that. It's a valid, this is not the best way to explain it, but let me just stick with that so as to make my point clear. It's a valid option. So that's how that man believes God and he died. Come to my office. You will see those who believe the doctors and they're all dead too. There are plenty. And this is my conviction. There are more. The annoying part is that when you believe God and die, you tend to die complete. But when you believe my colleagues and die, you are in pieces. I'm telling you, they've dug up here and there, radiated your soul. I'm telling you. When you come near the gates of heaven, they have to use scanner to see how much gamma rays is emitted. I'm telling you, these people. What are you saying? Both groups of people have died. And I'm telling you, honest skin, that is, nothing is wrong, yet the treated and died is common now with the physical doctors. I have seen them issue wrong results and cut away parts that are healthy. Yes. I told the story of my friend who said, he called me and said, "Banky, I just killed somebody." He said, "Doctor, like me." "You don't know, we have his license to kill. You guys don't know. You guys don't know. You think we only make alive. I'm telling you, better don't. Just pray to God. Just pray to God." What did I say? Even when you are going to those hospitals, pray. Oh. What did I say?
Pray.
Hey, you didn't hear me. What did I say?
Pray.
Thank you. I've seen a doctor that opened a book and said the dose of the medicine according to the book. And he did according to the book. Gave the child one injection, the child died. The other came back and said, "What happened?" He said, "That's what the book said." The other said, "Yeah, you went and used the book. That's white man's book. That's white man's book." When they enter the hospital, they say, "Praise God, we are safe." You are not safe. You are not safe. Safety is better. Know that too. You think it's only Agbero that smoke? Some of those guys wearing white coats, you don't know what they use that morning. They got cocaine rolling around their brain when they are looking at you and jabbing you needle. I'm not saying they're all like that, though. But there are a lot like that. Oh, not only in Nigeria. You say, that's why I like to go to America. Ah! It's a spirit. They are waiting there, too. Medical errors is on record. It's one of the major causes of death in America. There's a story in Mangato when we were in school. A man came with a hernia. Just a hernia. Not hernia. Just to quickly correct it. Except that they took him to the wrong theater. And the young doctors they wanted to do chest surgery. They thought it was their lung cancer patient. So the big boss was coming. So we do it like that. So the young boss was getting ready. Say, "Oga is coming. Let's do the small ones before Oga arrives." They cut the skin, move the ribs back, move it back, clamp, cut away the rib, remove. They look down. The lungs are very normal. Say, "Yeah, this boy doesn't have lung cancer." At that point, the big boss walked in. He said, "Sir, there's a problem." He took a glance, looked at the lungs. 30-something-year-old man. I said, "Can I have the films?" They put the film on the screen. He looked at the films, looked at the lungs, said, that cannot be this patient. Then they quickly checked. Yee, this one a young man, the patient is supposed to be 60-something. So they quickly, sorry. They begin to sew the man together again. There was only one problem, which was why I heard the story. They wheeled him to the ward, he died. In London. Where?
London.
Safety. 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 As you say, "I want to go have my children abroad because the gynecologists, they are very careful." I just say, "Look, you're sorry for your soul. If you want to use that style to collect money from your husband or people who love you who have money, I'm on your side." You understand what I'm saying? You want to go and look. It's good. But if you think, "I think I have my children abroad so that I give them another opportunity in life." Listen. You know where I'm coming from, where I went to preach? It's a place where a lot of people have a lot of money. So one woman came and said to me, "Pastor, I want to ask you a question." She was pregnant, you know. Yes. He said, "I want to deliver. I was thinking of going to deliver in America. But my husband said we'll pray about it." For them, it's not money. I said, "Madam, I'm a husband too. When we say we'll pray, it's a nice way of saying no." I said, "We don't pray about those things. It's when we don't want you to do something, we start saying, okay, let's go and pray first. When a man has to pray, he don't want to do. He said, actually, I suspected so, because he was telling me that his cousins, or maybe his nephew, that one committed suicide in America or somewhere in London. He said he was not saying, if only if he was not born there, then maybe he would have come home. Do you get that? I said, madam, are you still praying about this matter? Better join your husband. Born your pikin here, nice name. If you are looking for good hospitals, they full Nigeria plentily, bokuli. They are all over the place. So I was talking to my host, the main host. He said, I don't mind my colleagues. He said, they say, you give your children another opportunity in life. I said, which opportunity? Let me just drop it for you. If you like, have your children in Botswana. If you like, go to Mali. If you like, go to London, Sydney, Australia, United States, anywhere there. I have no problem with it. Now, as you won't burn your pikin, now your pikin will be my own. Amen?
Amen?
But let me tell you something. Don't deceive yourself. No child with a British, American, Australian, or Canadian visa has a 0.0001.1 advantage over the one born locally. None. 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 Fat lie. If you like, go born under the sea. I have no problem with it. But if you are deceiving yourself that you want to give your children the opportunity to have American citizenship so that later on in life, if that's what you want, better go and give them Chinese citizenship. That one is better. Trust me, I know what I'm saying. But the truth is that nobody has any advantage over anybody. You are not giving them any opportunity. If anything, you are giving them opportunity for confusion in life. That's why that woman was telling me, say, hey, maybe that's why my husband doesn't want me to go. I said, madam, you know me and my husband too. When we begin talk like this, the answer is no. Just like you women, you know, go on take that no easily. So we are trying to be nice. So we want to blame God. So we say, let us pray about it. Say, so we'll now finish praying. Now come and say, sweetheart, as I was praying, my spirit, not me, it's my spirit. You know I love you. I want you to go and born in America. But my spirit not agree. And it's not just my spirit, just the spirit of God that came to wake my spirit up. It's not me, oh, you know, it's God. So, do you want us to disobey God? He said, no. So, you know, me and you are together. It's just God. You know, it's God. That kind of thing. The husband will now hug and finish. Call you move for your head. What I'm telling you is the truth. No, what I'm telling you is the truth. Is the truth. There is no bomb picking anywhere. Doesn't give. I just look at you when you're just running up and down. For those who have the money, it doesn't even bother me. It's those who borrow the money that makes me laugh. There are those who have the money. It's not an issue. Like, these are the ones that can burn under the sea if they want. They can burn anywhere. But some people, they are packing money together. Boy, I bet you'll borrow me this 1 million. I'll give you back. Why the next 6 months? Go to play small, small. What's happening? Madam, I won't born. Ah, now 1 million they charge. No, you won't go born for America. I will not lend you the money. If I had it, I won't give you. I won't join you in doing iniquity. In removing your eyes from God and placing it in a country that's backsliding. If I said something where I was preaching, because many people I was preaching to, they have their children all over the world. I said, you took your children to Harvard because of safety. And his roommate is homosexual, and you are not afraid. The whole hall was quiet. I was talking to people that many of their children, I saw they scatter everywhere. I said, do you know his roommate is homosexual? Listen, safety is what? Safety is what? I'm telling you the truth, though. Where did I even start from? You're talking about the fact that I don't know what I was saying. Anyway, generally speaking, that's how I'm going to explain. We must recognize that the power of God is real. We must recognize that the power of God is what? Real. You know, the fact that Jesus died made the healing power of God available. I'll develop that next time. The fact that Jesus died did what? That's why we read from that Isaiah chapter 53. You see a number of things tied together. He died for our transgressions, for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace. The word peace in the Old Testament, don't ever forget what it means. That's why every day I say, put up your hand, the peace of God is in your hand. The peace of God is not just my belle kule. No, 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 no. The peace of God is beyond that feeling. The peace of God in the Old Testament, when they greet you, they say, shalom. Muslims still say it today. It's the same thing, salam. They say salam. Salam alaikum. You've heard it. The Jew will say shalom. Literally means peace. This is the interesting part. It's the same word they use for prosperity. The same word. What you call prosperity. In fact, let me teach you some Hebrew today. So I want to read your Bible, you understand. When they use the word strength, it's the same word for wealth. When they use the word peace, it's the same thing for prosperity. That it has to do not only with just your physical well-being, your financial well-being, your total well-being. So the chastisement that brought us total well-being was upon him. The death of Jesus made total well-being available. It's so important we understand this. Like I was saying, don't make fear a habit. And the promises of God are out there. You must download them from the remote server into your own hard disk. Very important. All the troubles in life, God said, there is peace. The chastisement to bring you peace was upon him. So you should know that peace is available. If you activate it by faith is yours. One of my friends said something. You know, during this my trip, we're talking. He said, one of his colleagues, they're in an area where militant activity was quite strong. You understand my point? So the guy came to him and said, see me, see trouble. He said, what? Because of militant activity, I packed my whole family and took them to Abuja. Then Boko Haram started bombing. He said, Simi, what am I going to do? I said to the people when I was preaching, I said, listen, you must activate promises over those children. Rather than send them somewhere and say, let them go to America so that they will be okay. They will not be okay. I told you, I will talk bluntly. Let me offend you. Perhaps your head go rearrange. They will not be okay. Geographical location does not guarantee okayness. The chastisement for okayness was upon him. Activate the okayness to meet you wherever you desire to be. As a professor over those children, I said to them, I did not give birth to you for calamity. Because the Bible says you will not give birth to children for calamity. You want your children to be okay, pray for them. You want your children to be okay, prophesy upon them. You want your children to be okay, pray for them. Teach them the word of God. Commend them to God and to his word, the word of his grace. You can't hide them anywhere to make them okay. There was a time calamity was in Israel, according to the word of Jeremiah. And then the people that were remaining came to him and said, what shall we do? He said, God now says, stay in this land of calamity. I will prosper you here. They said, Nah lie. He wants us to die here. They have paid you now so that they will come back and kill the rest of us. That was how they gathered themselves. Jeremiah said, I'm warning you. God said, if you go to that Egypt, in Egypt you will meet your destruction. They went to Egypt to go and hide. Egypt was safe. Egypt was prosperous. There was only one problem. The same Nebuchadnezzar that pummels them had an issue with the Egyptians. So after they are settled in Egypt, he showed up again. And the Bible says he sought those Jews out and killed every one of them. In the place where they went to hide, in the place where they went to get safety. 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 The chastisement for his your peace was upon him. What did Jesus Christ come to do? To ensure that wherever you are, peace will meet you there. He came to activate that peace of God. That peace of God heals diseases. That peace of God guarantees prosperity. That peace of God guarantees all-round well-being. Accept it that it's now reachable for you because Jesus died to make it so. Are you getting the point I'm making? We'll talk about that next time because, you know, talk about the healing power because you see, I'll just pick up from that. Before Jesus Christ came, healing was only available as a routine matter for the Jews. That is, before he died. So that when one woman came and said, my daughter is seriously vexed by an evil spirit at home, pray. Jesus said, it's the children's bread. We can't give it to dogs. That's what he said. Why? Because you see, there was a covenant God had with Israel. I am Jehovah, the Lord that healed thee. So Jesus came as that. And everybody that was baptized by John tapped into that anointing. So when the Syrophoenician woman came out of the covenant of Israel, she was not part of it, and said, please now heal my daughter. Jesus said, what do you want me to do? Is the children's bread. And the woman said, listen, Jesus said, we can't give it to dogs. Say, if dog is hanging around long enough, does something not fall down for the dogs? The woman had to come down to the position of being a dog. Accept that is with humility. With that, she connected with the grace that was in Christ Jesus. It was just a temporary thing, just for her. The centurion came, prayed for his servant. Number one, I suspect the servant was a Jew. But maybe he wasn't. But remember, he had to be interceded for by the elders in Israel. But after Jesus Christ came and died, Philip got up, went out amongst the Gentiles, and began to do miracles recklessly. Whether you believe or you don't believe, your personal problem. Just come here and get healed. After that, you decide whether you are going to believe or not. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Before now, Jesus said, don't go out to the midst of the Samaritans. Don't go to anybody apart from the lost house of the tribe of Israel. But after that, his disciples got up, went amongst everybody, healing anybody they found. Why? Because when Jesus died, Jehovah Jireh was no longer Jehovah Jireh. That is Jehovah just for the Jews. Himself took our infirmities and our diseases. Behold the Lamb of God that took the infirmities and the disease of the whole world. His coming made the power of God to heal available. What did I say? His coming made the power of God to heal available to all. I should have added that. And this is no longer a doggy matter. You know, we dogs, no. It is not the children's bread, and we are amongst the children. We'll continue from that particular point next time. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed today. Just bow down your head and say, Father, thank you.